Welcome to the All-in-One podcast for middle school language arts teachers. I'm Linda, and I've been a teacher for over 30 years. I can help you with tips, tricks, and motivation that will simplify your planning, streamline your teaching, and enjoy more free time. Well, hey there, it's Linda. If you're listening in real time, we are at the end of January already. We had some really cold weather here in New Jersey, but this past week it was a bit better. I honestly don't mind the winter, not yet anyway. By March, I'm done with it though. So I'm hoping that wherever you are, you're doing well and making the best of these long winter days with some cozy activities like reading and trying new recipes and things that bring you joy. In any event, I'm so excited to continue with our mini series on something that I am really passionate about, and that is teaching reading skills at the middle school level. This is my sixth in the series, so if you missed the others, you might want to go back and check them out. I also want to tell you that I have one more planned in this series, but if you have any specific requests of things that would benefit you and your students, please let me know, and my email is listed in the show notes. Before we get into today's topic, I want to make sure that you know that I usually mention at least one freebie, and I have one today. I want to encourage you to sign up for my email. Once you're on my email list, I send you any new freebies automatically, and I do make a bunch to go along with my products. So be sure to check it out in the show notes. So let's get into it. Today we're going to be talking about teaching the reading skill of teaching point of view and perspective. Okay, so if you're a middle school language arts teacher, then you need a solid plan for teaching reading skills. Unfortunately, many middle school teachers are assigning reading and questions or doing a whole class novel without much thought going into reading skills. Teaching point of view and perspective in literature is a skill you'll want kids to have now and throughout their academic careers. Understanding these components give kids a deeper understanding of characters. So we're going to get into this. We're going to talk about why teach point of view and perspective in literature, some general tips on teaching reading skills, what to include in a lesson on point of view and perspective, and then some practice with point of view and perspective, some activities for your kids. Okay. So why do we teach point of view and perspective? It's really important, and it's really important that they don't just know the definition of each of these, okay? Who is telling a story impacts so much. As readers, we are privy to only what our narrator is telling us. That is point of view, and kids need to have a solid understanding and a general awareness of their narrator. It will let them know not only what is happening, but to question what we are not being told, which, by the way, is a pretty good life skill. I would be hard-pressed to show kids something more valuable than perspective when teaching reading skills. Understanding a character's experiences, thoughts, and emotions can help us to truly understand why a character does what they do and what they do not do. More importantly, it teaches kids empathy. If a character, for example, is always mean and doing things they shouldn't, we have to show kids how to examine that character's perspective. Perhaps the character was abused. Perhaps the character was traumatized in some other way. Perhaps the character didn't have good role models. Using literature to do this is a great way to teach empathy, so that kids will hopefully carry it over into the real world. So I would take it a step further and point out to kids that yes, we really do need to keep others' perspectives in mind in real life. Having and showing empathy for others who are dealing with difficult situations is a beautiful outcome of teaching perspective. When done correctly, it can actually be life-altering. Okay, so I'm going to be repeating some general tips on teaching reading skills. I've mentioned these in the other podcasts, but they're worth repeating, especially if you are only listening to this episode. So when you teach reading skills, you will want to use some consistency with your students so that they know what to expect and what is expected of them. For me, I use a reading workshop model of instruction. I have a whole series in my podcast on reading workshop that you might like to check out. Before you do, though, please know that I adapted my reading workshop from what people might consider the true model because I wanted it to be more skills-based. Okay, so general reading workshop guidelines. Let's just do this in a nutshell. You want to teach the mini lesson, keeping it brief at about 5 to 10 minutes. I'm sorry, 10 to 15 minutes is more like it. Then there is student workshop time, and this is when kids will work on something in their reading that you taught them in the mini lesson. At that time, while they're working, you're going to be conferencing. You're going to meet with kids to check in with their reading and how they are doing with the skills you are teaching. And you're going to want to share at the very end. Make a few moments at the end of class to share something from their reading, preferably something that is related to the mini lesson that you taught. So if you're creating a mini lesson for point of view and perspective, you want to keep these components. And these components are the same for every mini lesson. I'm going to give you a few examples here so that you know where you're going if you're developing a mini lesson on point of view and perspective. So the first thing you want to do is connect. Here's where you link what kids have learned to where you were going in this lesson. So for example, you might say, when we last met, we talked about the first person point of view. Today, you are going to examine the times that the narrator is stating what they are thinking to give you a better understanding of this character. Okay, the second part of a mini lesson is your teaching objective. It is crucial to explicitly state to your students what you want them to learn. For example, today's goal is to understand that third-person narrators are often privy to the thoughts of many characters, not just the main character. Okay, the third part of a mini lesson are your strategies. Here, you will give kids a strategy or strategies to meet the objective. So, for example, you might say, as you are reading, jot down the main character's perspective. Use the main character's past experiences to explain why they might have a certain attitude towards something. Okay, the next part of the mini lesson is the engagement. This is where you want to show a real life example and then have kids practice during the lesson. I use turn and talk here so that students are using a skill and a partnership. For example, turn and talk to your partner about your perspective on school. Use your past experiences to explain why this is your perspective. And last part, the student objective. This is really important. It's where students are given direction for their workshop time. Keep it brief and keep it specific. It is always best to note that students should be doing this every time they read, not just in this lesson. For example, today and every time you are reading a novel, notice the point of view of the story. Jot down what this point of view does and does not allow you to learn about the story. So I do have a mini lesson on teaching point of view and perspective in my TPT store. I'll link it in the show notes in case you want to check that out if you want something that's already made. Okay, so then you want to practice with point of view and perspective. So once kids have learned the skill, then it's time to practice. This is the portion of the reading workshop where students will go off to work and do something to apply the skill you taught in the mini lesson to their reading. Be careful not to do what I call kill the skill. You are looking for application, not a bunch of extra work for your kids. So what should your practice not look like? It might be easier to start there. Okay, you don't want random worksheets. Skill and drill style worksheets are not conducive to truly learning and applying reading skills. They're just not. Next, you want to stay away from unrelated exercises. Kids should be applying it to the reading they are doing now or to a mentor text, which is a short story that you're using that's in the same genre as your current unit of study. So, for example, if you're in a historical fiction unit, you would want to pick a mentor text that is a short story that is in the historical fiction genre. Okay. The last thing that you should avoid is work that is too long. You don't want kids doing skill work that takes a long time because you want to get them into their reading. And I say this and I say it every episode, and I'm not being sarcastic, but the point of a reading workshop is for kids to read, not for them to just solely listen to instruction. Okay, that's why the mini lesson is mini and the workshop time is more extensive. So what should their practice look like? Well, I always do mentor text work, always, in every unit. So having a mentor text to refer to throughout a unit, it is key. You'll want one that's in the same genre, like I said, and you want it to contain at least some of the skills that you'll be teaching in the unit. So for example, when I'm in a realistic fiction unit, I teach skills like character traits, symbolism, theme, point of view, and perspective. So I pick a short story that has at least some of those skills so that we can refer to it. Okay, and I really love the story All Summer in a Day by Ray Bradbury for teaching point of view and perspective. Okay, another thing you want to do with them to practice is reading application. As you progress in the unit and kids are reading novels, have them keep a chart of some important information they glean when a character tells us their thoughts. They can reflect on this with an "it says, I say" chart. This type of chart has kids write what the character says or thinks and then responds with their own thoughts. And I do have a free "it says, I say" chart to do this, and I will be sure to link that freebie in my show notes. Okay, another great thing to do is debate. So having kids debate is a great engagement strategy. So for example, students might disagree on what parts of a character's experiences reflect their perspective. I would keep it quick, maybe 10 minutes, as you want kids actually reading during reading workshop. Lastly, what would I do with any reading skill? I do centers. Okay, having kids do centers on a specific skill, especially towards the end of a unit to show what they know and to extend their learning, is ideal. It can also help them prepare for an upcoming assessment. And lo and behold, I do have centers on point of view and perspective available in my TPT store. They're really engaging. I hope you'll give them a look, and I'll be sure to link them in the notes as well. Okay, so that is it. We talked about why teach point of view and perspective, general tips on teaching reading skills, what to include in a lesson on point of view and perspective, and what not to include, and good practice with point of view and perspective ideas. So be sure to tune in next week because we will be finishing with our mini series on reading skills. The next topic is the one that I think is the most important and also the one that can be, I believe, the most difficult to teach, and that is teaching the theme of a novel. I want to tell you, though, I think I've conquered it over these many, many years of teaching, and it has become my favorite reading skill to teach. Okay, I have some great tips for you, and you don't want to miss it. I also want to remind you that if you do have a special request on something that you feel will help you in your classroom, please drop me an email and I will see if I can make that happen. Before I let you go, I want to take a moment to cordially invite you to join my Facebook group. It is pretty brand new and the teachers who joined are engaged and have great tips, and it is a positive space on the internet, if you can believe that. I did develop it because I just couldn't believe what I was reading in some Facebook groups, the negativity, the student bashing, the parent bashing, and it just, there were no solutions being offered. I mean, I believe it's fine to vent, but it should be solutions-based. So I hope you'll join us, and I'll be sure to link that in the show notes as well. Solutions and some ideas. Okay, and I'll be sure to leave the link to that in the show notes as well. I hope this information was helpful. Be sure to check the links that I mentioned in the show notes. My email is available there as well in case you have questions or comments. You can also DM me on Instagram at allinonemiddleschool. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you in the next episode.